When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good morning. Happy Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Sal Capaccio joining us for this Football Friday check-in. It's Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Good morning, Sal. How much of that game did you catch last night? I'm guessing most of it because I saw you tweeting about the final sequence, and I was hoping we could talk about that. The Justin Herbert fling it to the sky clock killer.
Yeah, for sure. We could talk about that for sure. I watched the whole game. I really was of the mindset that Denver was just going to kind of roll after a while.
They looked so good or so early.
Yeah, three touchdown drives.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, you know, the whole game, I honestly, I'm just thinking about the ramifications for the Bills. And I'm of the mind of whoever loses that game, that's who the Bills are playing. Like, that's where my mind is. It doesn't have to be right. But I'm like, whoever loses this game, the Bills are playing. So for the first half plus, I'm like, okay, it's going to be Chargers at Buffalo. Like, it's going to happen. What's it going to be like playing Justin Herbert and, you know, the Chargers coming to Buffalo? And then now, suddenly after the game, I'm like, I think the Bills are going to play the Broncos now. And now you have to look because of the math. Now the Bengals are suddenly back in it a little bit because of the games that the Broncos have. And I want to really go down the rabbit hole just for a second here, which is next week, the Bengals and Broncos play. You guys know that, right? I mean,
yep.
And if the Bengals win, I mean, they're in a position where they could wind up, you know, getting the seventh seed, but that would also force the Broncos to have to beat the Chiefs, which is a good thing, maybe, right? But and again, I don't really want the Bengals to win because I think it'd be a tough matchup. So if the Broncos beat them, they can kind of secure it, but then the Broncos have nothing to play for in Week 18. There's a lot of stuff here that you really have to unpack. You know what I mean?
The Chiefs, like the Broncos, are rooting for the Chiefs now to beat Houston and Pittsburgh, because if they do, then the Broncos get a Chiefs team that doesn't need Week 18, and if they just win that one, then they'll be fine. Yeah, it's all interconnected here, which
that's
is fun.
Right.
It's fun. Bills, of course, have the Patriots. We'll get to the injury report in a moment. But, yeah, so if you didn't see the final sequence of the game, you know, a team trying to kill off the clock without giving the ball back to the other team, the Chargers, first before the final play, which is a fourth down play, they had Justin Herbert lose, ready for this, 17 yards on three plays. Mm-hmm. He ran backwards and kneeled and ran backwards and kneeled and took – he had a nice day running the football. So they kneeled three times for 17 yards. They had a delay a game. By the time it's all said and done, it's a 4th and 27 with, was it 2 seconds left or not enough time for
one play? 4th and 32 with 4 seconds left, I got here.
Okay, 4th and 30. They go backwards 22 yards. This is their way to manage this final possession, this final series of downs. And then Herbert drops back on 4th and 32 and just heaves it into the air, down the field, out of bounds, but no receivers anywhere. They didn't even run routes. The whole idea was throw it in the air and let time expire. And Sal, I didn't think of it at the time, but I saw you talking about it to people on Twitter. Why is that not intentional grounding?
So I'll give you the answer. This is from Football Zebras. It's a really good account. I interact with them sometimes. We message each other. If I have a question, they clarify it. And they were about this last night, too, publicly. Football Zebras, here's what they wrote. Because one, Herbert was not under imminent threat of a sack. Okay. And two, he said, there was a receiver outside the numbers, and that satisfies the in the area criteria. I'm like, okay. Because, like, okay, outside the numbers. Do you guys remember last year in Cincinnati? Gabe Davis is running down the sidelines. Josh throws it to him. There's a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Gabe is clearly outside the numbers. He breaks off the route. The ball sails 20 yards over his head, and Josh is called for intentional grounding.
Right. Well, hasn't unanimously since that play, even I remember Collinsworth right on the broadcast, that was a mistake.
Right. Okay, so if that's the case, if that's a mistake, I can understand that. But if that was some sort of barometer, then that's why I think about this one last night. That is their explanation. What I don't like, and I think this should be changed, okay? I also ask, well, wait a minute. Even if they're, let's just say they threw the flag for intentional, which they didn't. It's fourth down. It's a loss of down. I understand that the game can end on an offensive penalty. Like, the game can end an offensive penalty. It's just over. But what if that offensive penalty results in a change of possession? Shouldn't the new team get one untimed down? And right now, that is not the rule. So even if they threw the penalty, that the point here is, even if they called intentional grounding, the game was over. I don't think that should be the rule. I think if you do call it, I think the game should extend.
Sal, look up. There's a clip in college football that my buddy shared with me from like 10 years ago. Maybe you even remember it, but it's not like a super famous game. Oklahoma State did this, I guess, a few years ago where they had like 4 seconds left and they did exactly what you're talking about. The quarterback wasn't under duress and they threw the ball out of bounds, but they didn't have a receiver lined up. And they called them for intentional grounding, and the refs got the rule wrong. They thought there should have been an untimed down with the change of possession. So they made a mistake. They gave, I think it was Central Michigan, one play, and they scored on a Hail Mary and won the football game. So, like, I think what you're saying is, like, that scenario that played out in college football that was technically a mistake, like, you kind of, like, I think in the rules, that would actually be, like, it would kind of prevent, I think, what you had last night a little bit better.
Yeah, I would prefer, like, I think that's something that the competition committee should look at. Like, you shouldn't be able to do something intentionally wrong and benefit you. Does that make sense? Like, that's how I look at it. You should not be able to do something intentionally wrong and have it benefit you.
Either way,
the Chargers win, but I do think it opens up a nice discussion about that, and I don't necessarily agree. I know Football Zebras, I get it. Like, he's correct. The person who tweeted is correct because they know the rules about why it wasn't intentional grounding. Still seems like, okay, but it kind of was, and maybe you should look at that, but the other part is the change of possession should cause a one-time down.
Yeah.
Untimed down.
That's always been an annoyance to me, too, about other things, but this is another example of intentional grounding. Like, the spirit of intentional grounding is, hey, you were trying to do that, throw that incompletion on purpose, penalty. And, like, there are these workarounds where, like he was in the area, which is part of the description, I know, but we all know you did it intentionally. Like, the spirit of the rule should be you get flagged for it, but there are these loopholes.
That's right. And can we talk about the fair catch kick real quick? Because that was amazing.
Awesome. So, did you know that rule?
Yes, I've known it since I was a little kid, but we've never seen it. And when I was young, people talked about it a lot. And maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s, and maybe because someone saw it like late in the 70s, and like it was like, oh yeah, you know, you could do this, right? Like, it was something that was talked about, and people would say it, but it's never happened in so long. I have not really heard many people talk about it. What I do want to say about it that I think a lot of people don't realize. You guys know you could do it after any fair catch, right? It does not have to be at the end of a half or at the end of a quarter or whatever.
Right.
The only reason why people say that is because why would you do it elsewhere or any other time?
Right.
You could do it in the middle of the second quarter. If the Patriots this week, you know, punt to the Bills and the Bills fair catch it at their own 40-yard line in the middle of the second quarter, they could do a fair catch kick instead.
Yeah.
But why would you do that? You're getting the ball at the 40-yard line. That's why no one... the half or end of the game is because there'd be kind of no other reason to do it. In that situation, you have no plays remaining. So that's why you would do it.
There's one scenario where you would, and it kind of ties into something else that happened last night. The Broncos, down 10, stopped their drive and kicked a field goal and went for the onside kick with as much time remaining as they could. because they knew they'd need an onside kick. So, like, the only other place I could see you doing a fair catch free kick is you are down 10, you know, down two scores, get that fair catch at the 40 and say, like, let's kick it now. It's untimed. It's free. But, yeah, it's a wild rule. I would imagine most coaches, special teams coaches, I feel like a lot of the football world had some fun with the idea that coaches didn't know that rule. But I think enough people do. It's pretty safe to say that people probably did know that crazy rule. It was fun to watch. I mean, it hasn't happened since 1976 that it's happened and the kick has been hit. So, really a great – I mean, it was a great moment. It felt like I was watching a no-hitter, Sal. You know, like, wasn't all of America rooting for Cameron Dicker in that moment? Like, come on, let's do it. We're going to get it, finally.
I think that the Falcons tried this a few years ago. It didn't make it. I'm pretty sure they did. I could swear. I thought Arthur Smith might have been the coach, but I'm not positive. I could swear it was the Falcons. I think someone did try it. But
Harbaugh tried it when he was the Niners coach. I know that. Maybe there was another one. But I know someone pointed or had a clip of Harbaugh trying it with like Phil Dawson in like 2010 or something.
But in those cases, it wasn't made and it wasn't on national TV, right? So,
right.
You know, that's why. And then, Joe, I think I saw you say something about the drop kick last night.
That's great. I was trying to think of, like, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next? What's the next thing we haven't seen in forever? And, yeah, we haven't had a drop kick in a while. There was another good one someone pointed out to me. I have to find it. There was another play that, like, hasn't happened. Oh, the one-point safety. The one-point safety. Where, like, you could technically have 1 point on the scoreboard. You could lose a game 6-1. Like, if you go to Scorigami, you'll see, how come they have all these totals with 1 point? Well, it's because you could get a one-point safety, but it's like, how do you get that? You need a team to go backwards, like, 75 yards on an extra point.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, there are some quirky rules. I'm glad we got to see one last night. And it was really cool to kind of see the reaction on social media, right?
Yeah.
I've known about the rule, but I've never really seen it put into practice. And to see it last night, to see it actually happen, was pretty cool. But that was one thing that I think I want to bring to everybody today, which is you could do it at any time. It doesn't have to be the last play, but there's really no other reason to do it at any time.
Sal Capaccio joining us on this Football Friday. All right, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Clean-ish injury report. So I feel like we've been driving home the last couple days that the Bills are one of the healthier teams in the NFL. That's IR. And now yesterday you had guys returning back on what, I don't know, looks like an optimistic timeline to me.
Yeah, for sure. One notable thing about the injury report yesterday, Baylen Spector showed up with a calf injury. He was not on it on Wednesday. Suddenly he was limited on Thursday. I was out at practice. He was there. He was practicing. So did something happen at practice with Baylen Spector? That's something we'll find out today from Sean McDermott. You guys remember, he was on IR with a calf injury. Linebacker, and remember last year in the playoffs, that was an area that hurt them. But, they got Milano back. Eddie Ulofosio has really been inactive this year. And Joe Andreessen is the backup, if Baylen Spector can't play, to Terrell Bernard. So it's not like they're in dire straits there or anything like that, but it is notable. We'll see about that. And then, there was no other change except for Deion Dawkins, who did not practice yesterday. And, of course, I'm sure everybody knows the story now. Tragically, a small plane crashed right near his home. He was at practice. He went home after that word got to him. Everybody in his family is safe. Unfortunately, the pilot did die. I know WBEN has a lot more on that. He came back to the facility after that and did speak with reporters, but he was officially excused and did not practice. Otherwise, they did have six other players limited. All the players who did not play on Sunday, all the players who left the game on Sunday, were all limited for two straight days now.
In New England, of course, part of their injury report is Christian Barmore, whose season comes to an end. He'd been out for a while, had been cleared to return, and now is back out for, I would imagine the rest of the season, and who knows past that.
Yes. Yeah, they're shutting him down. He's done for the year, and you hope at this point that, you know, Christian Barmore is going to be okay. It's a really serious issue. Blood clots that he dealt with that kept him on the injured list, on the illness list for 10 weeks, and he's a really good player. I think were we all talking this week about if we did a draft of, like, just took the 20 players in this game, top 20 players? I don't think you were there, Jeremy. Joe and I were talking. I said, if you just drafted the top 20 players on these rosters, how many Patriots are you getting to? And Barmore would be one of them.
He was like maybe the only one. Him and like one
Christian
other
Christian
Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, Barmore, and maybe Drake May, right? I mean, at some point. I know you have Josh Allen at quarterback, but you get the point. But he's a good player. And last year at the end of the year, he was playing dominant football. But then obviously this happened this year, and hopefully he'll be okay. And the Patriots did release a statement that obviously they want to ensure that he gets the time needed to come back stronger, and that's most important. As far as the rest of their injury report, Marcus Jones, you guys remember him from scoring a touchdown on offense against the Bills a few years ago. He's a corner, fast guy. He did not practice second straight day. Also, running back Jamichael Hasty did not practice second straight day. Christian Gonzalez and Kyle Duggar were both listed as limited yesterday.
Yeah, those were the days when New England had defensive coordinators calling plays and cornerbacks carrying the football. The Belichick days. But back to the Bills injury report for a second, Sal. Like, how concerning is linebacker right now in general? Like, you've got no one's like not practicing, but these limited designations, and maybe fans would get quickly to thinking about last year because that was the position that all the guys missed and is on the hook, a big reason why they lost that game, the season ended. Where are they at depth-wise, too? Like, if they want to start resting guys late in the year and all these guys are banged up, are they at, like, Andreessen is, like, the only other guy, or am I missing somebody?
Well, Andreessen would be your Mike, so he would turn into your middle linebacker if you rested Terrell Bernard and Baylen Specter can't go. And then on the weak side, you have Matt Milano, you have Dorian Williams, and you have Eddie Ulofosio. So they do go three deep at each spot. So they have three deep at each spot, but they've really kind of had some reserves here throughout the year. And, you know, if you're going to pluck one off and Baylen Specter, now, okay, you're down to only two middle linebackers, right? And now the thing about these guys is they're generally all little position flexibility. Let's remember Nicholas Morrow was released a while back. I don't believe, guys. Let me see if I can find him. I don't think he signed with anyone. So if you have to dip into it, and he's still a free agent, I believe. If you have to go out and find somebody, at least he's been a guy that has been on your roster, right? And you know, you could bring in. So we'll see. Yeah, you're right. And I do, like I said, we'll find out today. Was it just something that, hey, they had to get, you know, he had a little calf issue they had to get some treatment on, or did something happen at practice with Baylen Specter? But they do go three deep right now. They did make a roster move yesterday, which was a bit notable. Casey Tuhill comes back to the practice squad, and they did release Eli Ankun. And Eli's done a really nice job when he's been called on, but they just have so many guys. They have six active defensive tackles, guys. So then they had Eli Ankun and Zion Logue on the practice squad. So they bring Casey Tuhill back. Now they have a total of seven edge rushers, seven defensive tackles, both on the active and the practice squad. So looks like they're pretty good depth there with the group that they have.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, so first look at New England overall, and it's a team that's not got a lot going on for them other than the quarterback. You know, it'll be interesting to see Drake May get his first look at the Bills, his first trip to Buffalo, his first look at a Sean McDermott defense. When it comes to the matchup itself, you know, the Bills are big, big favorites in this game. Is there a conversation over there about avoiding a letdown? They just came through a couple of pretty big games and a stretch of Chiefs, Niners, Rams, Lions, and now we ease into a different part of the schedule. So what's the message from One Bills Drive about this game and finishing the season in the right way?
No, I think, Jeremy, after the way that they had a bit of a letdown against the Rams, and then they allowed, you know, 40-plus points in two straight weeks, I think that the opposite. It's getting back on track on defense, playing your best football right now. You need to be playing good football, and no matter who's on the field for whatever reason, I think this team understands that, you know, they have to be getting dialed in. And even if over the next three games, something where you know that they can't get the one seed, I think they feel it's important to be playing as good a football as possible and not letting that happen. Now, granted, at the end, maybe over the next 3 weeks, maybe wins, losses doesn't matter as much. But I think they want to play better than they have, especially on the defensive side. I think they take a lot of pride in, you know, who they've been on defense, and the last 2 weeks didn't go their way. And matchup-wise, I think this is kind of the perfect team to do that against. You have a rookie quarterback, you know, coming to Buffalo in a hostile environment. Sean McDermott's record against rookie quarterbacks is very good. But the other thing is, boy, their offensive line is just not good. The Patriots have a they're in for it on the offensive line right now. And I think the Bills feel that they could probably dominate up front in this game. And then back to the point before about, you know, who you would take in a draft, they're skill players. They just don't have much on offense at all. Matt Bove and I, we did a podcast yesterday. We had Nick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Stevens on, who does a podcast on Odyssey for the Patriots side of things, and he said the same thing. He said they're so void of talent on offense. They have some talent on defense. Now Barmore's obviously out, but I can't imagine the Patriots really, you know, moving the ball really successfully on the Bills, but scoring a lot of points. I just think that's where your biggest advantage comes in. You look at their sacks they've given up per pass attempt.
Yeah.
Like, they're one of not many teams in the league. I think only five teams in the league have given up a sack on over 10% of their dropbacks.
There's also one odd thing about the Patriots right now. Evan Lazar tweeted during the week that Alex Van Pelt says the team's record is a factor in how often the Patriots are calling design runs for Drake May. So the focus is to get May through the last three games healthy. And that's an odd thing to say with three games remaining, because if that's the focus, I might consider not playing him. Or I might pull him out of a game early.
It's kind of weird, right?
Like, it's very weird to have three games left and say, listen, we just want to get him out of the season healthy. So, no, you know, design runs are down.
Is it that, though, or they want him developing more, like, the passing part of it and not?
No, he said the focus is to get him healthy.
Okay.
To get him through healthy. I mean,
that is weird, then.
And his passing acumen, like, I'm excited for Bills fans to see him this week. He might not look good this week against the Bills defense that is ready to probably feast. But he extends plays. He's fun to watch. I saw Allen's comments on Drake May, and May has started to get Allen comparisons just in the way that they play as rookies. And, you know, he said, I've got a long way to go to be anywhere near as good as Josh Allen. But it's kind of a moment here for Drake May to show at least Bills fans and Sean McDermott what he's capable of doing. If, in fact, keep him in the game.
and on a not a national television audience, but a lot of the country's going to see this game. They moved it to 4:25 p.m., right? And, you know, that was also, by the way, interesting. I don't know if we talked about that, guys, how all that went down last week. But this would not have been moved. From what I understand, this would not have been moved if the Dolphins had won last week, because that game would matter a lot more between the Dolphins and the 49ers. But once the Dolphins lost, it became like, we got most of the country seeing that game. We got to maybe, I don't know how much that's going to matter. Oh, let's just put Josh Allen there. I mean, that's really what happened, to be honest with you. Like, it's about Josh Allen and the country seeing Josh Allen. And from what I understand, CBX actually, they wanted the Vikings-Seahawks game, but Fox protected it and they couldn't get it. So they instead said, okay, we'll take Josh Allen and put him on opposite. So now that being said, this game's going to go to, I believe, about half the country. The rest is going to see Miami and San Francisco still. So that's a chance for Drake May, national audience in Buffalo. Josh Allen, of course. I talked with a couple defensive players for the Bills, and I asked them the same question about Drake May and his, you know, his legs. And it was interesting. And this is how you know that, like, they're so kind of prepared the way that they answer this was, well, listen, he's a rookie quarterback, and a lot of times rookie quarterbacks aren't going to trust what they see, so what do? They take off with their legs, so we're going to have to know that. And I like that answer. That means that they're very aware of the fact that it's not even just designed runs. It's he's going to say, okay, I don't like what I see, I got to go, and they have to know right away going into a play that that could happen.
Yeah. He can also make throws on the run. Like, there's a little bit of the conversation about Allen where, like, keep the beast in the cage. And,
yeah,
you know, May's not quite, of course, to that level yet, but I wonder how much attention they'll pay to keeping him inside the pocket rather than letting him get flushed out and you know, make plays out there.
Yeah, for sure. I think they'll probably want to get after him with that offensive line, no doubt about it. But I think that once he – if he starts hurting them with the legs, Jeremy, that's when you probably will have to make some sort of adjustment on that. But I want to see him too. I'm excited to see, you know, what he can do. It's going to be cold, by the way, everybody.
Yes.
We'll have Patrick Hammer on at 11:30 today on Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott at 11, Patrick Hammer at 11:30. And I'm sure he's going to tell us about temperatures that are going to be, you know, well below the 20s and maybe around 10 degrees or so.
Yeah. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Sal Capaccio is coming up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. It's Football Friday. We'll be back in a snap. That's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
So J.K. Scott's going to hold it. And this would make it 21-13 at the half if it's good.
I mean, he takes all the time in the world. This is like warm-ups.
Meanwhile, Marvin Mims is all the way back in case it's short, and he wants to run it back. Can he bang it through? On its way, it is. Yep.
Made history tonight.
Yes. There you go.
Cameron Dicker hits the fair catch free kick for 3 points in that game last night. Fun one. Decent Thursday night game between the Chargers and the Broncos. And the short version of what happens in that game is the AFC playoff picture opened up a lot more by the Chargers winning instead of Denver winning. Denver looked like they were in complete control of the game in the first half, and the Chargers kind of took it back. So the Dolphins and the Colts, I think I saw, Joe, that those two teams wanted the other outcome for a better out for a better potential for them. But either way, they're both still alive, and so was Cincinnati. The Bengals as well. It's Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. By Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Gearing up for Bills and Patriots Sunday, 4:25 at the stadium.
With it being, we got a Shakir fantasy question earlier too. The Bills have had vastly different game plans in the passing game 2 weeks in a row with all running backs and tight ends last week. Cooper, 14 targets before that. I'm trying to figure out what to tell people for the Bills on Sunday because, like, if you had Cooper, you're probably dead, but maybe he would be an option for you. I saw that New England runs the second most man coverage in the league this year. And they also have a top corner in Christian Gonzalez. So, like, trying to piece together, like, okay, what does that mean now? Because the Bills are torching man coverage, it feels like, every time they play it. They're the teams that run a lot of it. But doesn't that also think of, like, when you think of man coverage beaters, like, isn't that Cooper? Like, isn't Cooper the guy for that? But Detroit runs that. And what was it last week? Well, they have man, but it's linebackers against man, and you can't cover Ty Johnson like that. So, I don't know. Like, they're a tough nut to crack right now, I feel like, with, like, who week to week is going to be. Like, I'm not even sure I would be surprised if we saw another, like, 5-catch, 70-yard Ty Johnson game this week because, hey, you're going to run man? Okay, let's see if your linebackers can cover him.
Yeah, so you're telling me to put Ty Johnson in my lineup.
I think you could do worse. I think you could do worse. I mean, I would not run to do it because he could also have zero, but, like, I think you could do worse.
It is the final stretch of the MVP race, so let's do that. Lamar has the Steelers, which is, I mean, it's usually a bad week for him.
I don't know that he's ever had a great game against them. Like, it's, I know, like, in totality, the numbers look bad. I don't even know if there's, I'm going to look, but I feel like I've seen, like, their scores, like, the list of the scores. There's not a single good game there since, like, Flacco was the quarterback against Pittsburgh.
Yep. And they're home this week. I think it was Andrew Filippone that had this, that Lamar has more MVPs than he has wins at home against the Steelers.
Wow, that's...
So, that's one for you. We already had our stat of the day, but that's pretty good. His career splits against the Steelers. He is 2-5 as a starter.
Yeah.
He has, in 7 games, he has 5 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
8 interceptions. His yards per game against Pittsburgh is 153 passing.
I'm looking. He has not had a single game against the Steelers with more passing touchdowns than interceptions.
Yeah.
Like, it's 1-1, it's 2-2, it's all like 200 yards. He had one game with 250 passing through the air. There's not a lot of running. What is it? Is it just TJ Watt? Like, what? The Steelers are a good defense, but they're not like, they're not impeccable. Like, last week, or like Cincinnati put up a million points on them. Last week, the Eagles looked like they had a pretty easy time. They had a 21 play drive over 10 minutes where the Steelers couldn't stop them. But they just, it's a division thing, right? It's the Bills knowing how to stop Tua, right? Like, it's they've played him enough, and they know exactly how to beat him, and they have the players to do it.
It's got to be a big part of it. See if Derrick Henry makes it any different this week. But if we're doing the MVP,
he didn't last time.
No, that's right. If we're doing the MVP weekly horse race, you can probably expect a meh performance from Lamar. If he has his best Steelers performance, it still would not be that good. And here's Allen against the Patriots, who the Bills have yet to play this year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, everybody eats is been working great. It's been working great for the Bills. The thing, the guy who eats all the time is Josh Allen. And I mean, I said it earlier in the show, and I'll say it today and going into Sunday. You know, I don't think they're going to put him in harm's way or anything like that. But I think absolutely the organization knows getting him the MVP would be good.
Let me ask this, because I kind of think the MVP race is dead because the guys behind him, I can't make a case for it. Allen deserves it. He has the numbers for it. Efficiency-wise, he might not have the total numbers you would expect for an MVP, but Lamar didn't either last year, and that happened. But, like, Lamar, I don't think they'll do it because he's won two, and the playoff stuff, and they're not gonna, if they win the division, maybe it's a little different, but they're not right now. Barkley's a running back, so I can't get there. Goff, now, like, no. I just don't think he'll get the credit for it. What about any, like, Allen would have to stumble too. Like, keep that in mind. Like, they'd have to lose two and him have like two bad games, which I don't think is likely. Is there any wiggle room if the Bengals do go on this miraculous run that Burrow could get into it?
Okay.
Because if they make it, it's all gonna be because this dude carried this team the whole way. Worst defense in the league, 400 yard passing games. Like, they're only here because this dude went off.
He has 36 touchdowns.
Right.
With 3 games to play.
Right.
Like, if he got to 50.
He got, sure. Okay.
If he got to 50, which is
50 touchdowns, and he's already, he leads the league in passing. Right. Could
he
in
to
3
50
games,
touchdowns, and they snuck in on a wild card, would they give him the MVP?
Also, 300, he's averaging 284 a game. If that went up a little bit, if he had like 310 yards per game in the next 3, and he got to 5,000 yards.
Yep.
Like 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns, and they get in right at the buzzer.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it would require, I absolutely think you could make the argument, but it would require the MVP voters changing what they've done almost exclusively
right
for how many years, like 20 years,
right?
All of a sudden, the wild card is open to this. It'd be like, I mean, it's a little bit like if a defensive player won it. Like, it just never happens anymore. J.J. Watt did not win the MVP of the NFL in a year where he was unbelievable and absolutely should have. There have been years where T.J. Watt had a case for it. Last year, Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, you can have a conversation, and yet it's like, yeah, I mean, that's cool. Cool story, bro. We're going to give it to a quarterback. Giving it to a wild card quarterback with 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, to me, would be, again, you could make a case for it in a world where MVP is just MVP and not the endless conversation that we always have about it, or whether it's a career milestone or whatever. Like, I don't think Allen winning it this year happens in a vacuum, by the way. Like, anybody having Allen's year that isn't Josh Allen might not be getting as much, oh, it's his this year, than he is, because it's always in context and in narrative. So I think you want to tell me that Burrow scenario lines up, I would tell you if you voted for him, I don't think you're insane. I just don't think all of the voters are about to change the way they do it at once.
Yep. No, I mostly agree. I almost entirely agree with that. I do wonder if, like, someday somebody's going to win it without this exact equation of top quarter, like, really good quarterback numbers, and you're the one or the two seed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, someday I have to imagine something else wins the MVP award. You're right to compare those two. I do think, though, if that day ever comes, this scenario with a quarterback in the wild card throwing for like 50 touchdowns is far more likely to win an MVP than like a running back or a receiver are.
That said, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase's existence might work against Burrow. I mean, Chase is going to win the receiving title. He's had a monster year.
Did you see the clip? We have not watched it because we have our parlay bet and someone's going to have to watch it. Did you see the clip that was making the rounds on social media yesterday from Holiday Touchdown?
No.
There is a clip in it where there are two women sitting down at for like lunch or whatever, and
this is the Chiefs holiday Christmas special.
Yeah, they're talking about one of the players. Maybe it's the main character. I don't even know. He's a receiver, and they're talking about like who he is and like, oh yeah, this guy's a star. He's a 9-time MVP. The writers in this movie that one of us is going to have to watch wrote in a character that is a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs that is a 9-time NFL MVP. And yesterday people were having fun figuring out what would a wide receiver have to do to have a 3,500 yards per season to be a 9-time MVP. Just to get ready for how realistic that movie's about to be, by the way.
That's, I mean...
Who's watching it, Josh? You're gonna have to watch.
That's one of those ones. You know what that is? That's like when you just went to see Interstellar in the movie theaters on like the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah,
they make a movie about space and Interstellar, and they make sure that Neil deGrasse Tyson is a consultant. They're like, listen, we want everything to be scientifically real.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Holiday Touchdown of the Chiefs is like, yeah, whatever, just write in a 9-time wide receiver MVP.
No, nobody was consulting.
Soul was like, we probably shouldn't do that. That's probably not going
to
happen.
Anybody, not even like, you don't have to have Andy Reid consulting on it. Just like somebody that watches the National Football League. Anybody that like is a fan, watches Red Zone on Sundays, could have told you, don't do that. Don't make it. What are you doing? You're making him a 9-time MVP that plays wide receiver? Don't do that.
803-0550. Football Friday here on WGR. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
We need more Christmas music where we can just sing the backup. You know?
I think I have... We'll have to play. There's one that's been stuck in my head for like 48 hours that I think is my new favorite Christmas song. It's not new. It's probably like 80 years old.
Very quick note on the college football playoff, by the way. So that starts this weekend.
Tonight?
First time ever, this format. And there's a couple of very interesting quirks. So we mentioned if you want to go to Penn State, you can go for $40. A couple of reasons why that might be the case. Ticket sales for these games go to the college football playoff. Schools keep parking and concessions. That's not the big thing. These are just some of the notes that are different than regular games. Opposing schools get 3,500 tickets. That's it.
Oh. That's less than normal.
If this were a conference championship game, they'd go 50-50. And I know they want to have home games, but you know, maybe throw 10,000 tickets to the road team. Might help. Helps the atmosphere. Anyway.
That's probably right.
Away teams, Joe, so Notre Dame and Indiana, away teams have the option to have a hype video play during their introductions.
At the stadium?
At the stadium,
on the road?
On the road.
That's weird.
Home team...
For 3,500 people.
Yes, that's right. Home team operates the PA system and the music, but the script is largely controlled by the college football playoff. So it's like a home game, but you don't get to run the home game script.
Yeah.
Does that mean if this were a Bills game, you would not be able to use the train horn? You can't do third down. So
they're almost trying to make it a neutral site game that's being played at one of the team's facilities.
It's just a little bit watered down in a couple of ways, yes.
Yeah.
Something that they're doing for the college football playoffs. So,
by the way, tonight's game, 8 o'clock, Indiana and Notre Dame might be a snow game.
Okay.
There was a picture of the stadium this morning that is covered in snow, and it's supposed to snow, I think, through the morning, and then there's a chance that it snows tonight. The game's at 8. So maybe there'll just be snow like on the sides, but there's a chance tonight's a snow game.
Yeah, you've got Ohio State, Penn State, and Notre Dame all at home in the opening round and all like sub-zero temperatures forecast.
Right. Yeah.
So college football's not often played in the very cold. The season ends, what, at the end of November, and then everybody goes to a warm place to play.
Right. There's no bowl games in New Hampshire.
No, and the bowl games that are up north are played in domes usually. So anyway. College football playoff tonight. Get some. All right. Football Friday continues. Chris Brown joins us. Bottom of the hour. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.